back to the Hollow Sky Podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Steven.
And Kyle.
And it's Monday, Hollow Cult. You know what that means. We're back, hanging out with you on this wonderful beginning of your work week. So thanks for choosing us to kick it and keep things rolling. Keep on rolling. Hope everybody's week's going well. Hope everybody had a good weekend. It's getting deep into a spooky season, which I'm stoked about. It's my favorite time of year, even if it is fucking 85 degrees out, but it is what it is. Jumping back into my last installment of some Ouija board weirdness here. So if you haven't listened to the first two, make sure you go back and listen to them from the last 2 weeks. Talk about some history, talk about some demons, talk about some murder, get some insights. This week, it gets a little bit weird. A little bit strange.
That's what I'm talking about.
Kind of taking a turn with the board. So stick around for that. If you're new here and you don't, or you haven't been here before, we got some housekeeping we go through. It takes about 5 minutes. If you don't want to listen to that, you can fast forward. It's about the 6 minute mark. Hang out there. You'll find the crux of the show. If you're not new here, welcome back. Well, why do you keep doing this? We don't get it, but we're glad you're here.
Yeah.
We're glad. We got to get through some housekeeping. So check us out at all our socials, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, Discord, Reddit. Search up the Hollow Sky Podcast and you will find us there. Come be part of the community. Join the cult. It's a great thing. The Hollow Cult is the best cult, magnificent cult. You'll have a good time there. If you have a paranormal experience you'd like for us to feature on a future show of our listener experience show, Kyle's got some details for you.
Yeah, I do, and it's easy.
Simple.
Get on that keyboard of yours. Go to your emails, hollowskypodcast@gmail.com. Send your story over there. In as much detail as you could possibly
send. All the detail.
All of it. And then we're going to get it. We're going to put it in Steve's patented filing system.
You know it.
Which is the most efficient. It and ain't. Then you'll be famous.
It's easy, really. It's easy.
It is that easy.
It's hard to mess up. Let me mess. You just send it over and let me mess it up. Because that's what I'm good at.
This is true.
Simple.
We're pretty solid in that department.
Yeah. If you'd like to support what we got going on here, plenty of ways you can do it. We have a Patreon where you just look up Hollow Sky Podcast. It's in the show notes, in the link tree. Go over there and get a whole bunch of extra goodies. Patreon exclusive shows. All our regular shows without ads. You get early drops, all kinds of cool stuff. You get casket breath jams over there.
Get it.
Early kind of info on merch. Sometimes you get merch coupons, the whole thing. I know what you're thinking, merch. We guys talking about merch. HollowSkyPodcast.com has a store, if you didn't know. Go over there and check that out. We got t-shirts. We got hats. We got beanies. We got stickers. We're probably going to have hoodies. Yeah. We talked about a little bit last show.
Yeah. We're almost out of hats. That's surprising. We had quite a few hats.
People love them. They keep your head warm. It's really just a perfect article of clothing.
It is.
And they look great with a Hollow Sky logo on them.
Yes, they do.
You're just the talk of the town. The cream of the crop rises to the top. So don't wait any longer. Buy a hat. It's that easy. You can also share the show word of mouth. That's a good thing to do, like on any social media. Just keep sharing the shows. Go to wherever you listen to them and hit that share button and just send it out there. Go to your other content creators that you like. Tell them to hook up with us. I know we're bad about scheduling stuff because our schedules are dog shit, but we're trying.
That's an understatement.
Yeah, we work opposites all the time, and it's just chaos. But we're getting it figured out. It's gonna be fine. You can also go to wherever you listen to podcasts and leave us a 5-star rating and review, and I'll find them and shout you out. Right now I'm going through all the ones I missed on Facebook from the last 6.5 years, which ain't that many. It's like 25, but still, that's 6.5 years worth. Today's 5-star rating and review comes to us from our friend Ryan. Ryan says 5 stars. One of the best paranormal podcasts out there. Just two ordinary guys who keep their minds open to what is possible. Well, Ryan, thank you for the kind words. And yes, we are two very ordinary guys in an extraordinary world.
This is true.
Of paranormal and mysteries and stuff. So be sure to keep them coming. You can post them on Apple, post them on Spotify. I got to find all those on Spotify. If you can leave, I don't know if you can leave a review on Spotify or not.
I think so, because I think, like I said, I think I saw an email where it says we have just as many on Spotify as we do Apple.
Hell yeah. Keep it up, Holocult. The last thing you can do is support our wonderful sponsors, which you will be hearing from right now. According to the National Institutes of Health, as many as 30 million men in the United States experience ED. It's more common than a bad night's sleep. The good news is Hims makes getting access to treatment simple, so you can feel like yourself again without the stress or awkwardness. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that puts your goals first. To get simple online access to personalized, affordable care for ED, hair loss, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/hollow1. That's hims.com/hollow1 for your free online visit. hims.com/hollow1. Actual price will depend on product and subscription plan. Featured products include compounded drug products, which the FDA does not approve or verify for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescriptions required. See website for details, restrictions, and important safety information. Hey, Holocult. We're back and excited to announce our continued partnership with ZocDoc. When it comes to your health, please, please leave it to a professional. I don't know about you guys, but my entire social feed has just been filled with different health trends, like red light therapy can solve every skin problem, and you should be slamming olive oil shots first thing in the morning, or coconut oil this, elderberry that. Well, ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare high-quality in-network doctors and click to instantly book an appointment. With ZocDoc, you can book in-network appointments with more than 100,000 doctors across every specialty, from mental health to dental health, primary care to urgent care, and more. You can filter doctors who take your insurance, who are located close by, who are a good fit for any medical need you may have, and are highly rated by verified patients. I haven't had to book a doctor's appointment, thankfully. I've been pretty healthy, but I have gotten on the app and kind of messed around with it a little bit, kind of booked mock appointments, and it is super easy. It's a one-stop shop for everything that you need. Find doctors in your area, doctors that take your insurance, doctors that can get you in within 48 hours. It's excellent. Excellent. Stop putting off those doctor's appointments and go to ZocDoc.com/hollow1 to find and instantly book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/HOLO1. ZocDoc.com/hollow1. And just like that, we're back. Just like that, we're back. Going to get into my final episode on some Ouija boardage.
It's been a good string so far.
Got some interesting stuff.
It's been a good string. Been a lot of thought-provoking material.
We have had some good banter back and forth.
Yes, not been bad. It's not been bad.
Sometimes we impress us.
Sometimes. Sometimes sleep kicks in and we have a hard time.
Sometimes we get tired.
Sometimes we get tired. We are not machines as much as you'd like us to be.
Mm-hmm.
One day we'll converge with the AI overlord, though.
Yes. So this installment, make sure you go back and listen to the first two before you do anything else, because it kind of sets up. You don't want to come right into this one because you're going to be like, holy shit. You want to go back.
This one's off the rails.
Yeah. So in our first two installments, we covered the history of the Ouija board, how it was used to supposedly contact spirits of dead relatives as a pastime, alleviating grief. We also see how the board can have more nefarious connotations, being used for manipulation and murder and contacting demons and, you know, the whole nine there. This episode goes off the rails.
I'm ready for it.
In that, it's not that far-fetched to think that if the board can be used to contact spirits of the dead, also demons from hell, that other entities could also make themselves known via the board.
Loch Ness Monster.
Right? I didn't check that. The Loch Ness Monster probably could be.
Does it know how to spell English words?
Yes. Good. With its flippers. Good. So this is where we're at today. Ouija board contacting things that are not ghosts and demons. We're going to start with UFOs and aliens.
This makes sense.
Yeah. Came across a few cases here where Ouija boards have been used in close correlation, if not direct contact, with UFOs and their occupants.
I would be interested in seeing this done or doing it ourselves.
Yeah. There may be something.
As much as that terrifies me, it's interesting. Because it definitely parallels the CE5 shit.
That's what I'm saying. What camera do they use to film like UFOs at night? Is that just night vision? Can you see stars in night vision?
I think so, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, because night vision usually amplifies the light that's already there.
The UFOs.
The UFOs, exactly.
It amplifies the UFOs.
We definitely need to get a really good night vision camera.
Do you guys, I feel like I don't even want to talk to it because I feel like people just jack it, but.
Yeah, then don't.
Okay, never mind. Because
people will jack our shit.
Yeah.
It's proven.
Swag jack. Swag.
It's proven.
Okay, we're not going to talk about it. It's just going
to. We need to get ghillie suits.
Yeah, true.
Ghillie suits,
landmines,
military grade night vision, landmines,
in case,
and pepper spray.
The contact's made and they land.
That's a good weapon for grays.
You get it?
Pepper spray. Can't miss.
And I feel like the connotation of landmine has been lost. People think it's a mine under the land, but it's actually a mine for when UFOs land. Landmine.
Yeah.
It's simple
science. We can use them like the Ghostbuster slide trap.
Mm-hmm.
Boom.
It's easy.
It's perfect.
Simple science.
It's actually genius.
That's what we do.
We do have really good thoughts.
Yeah. Yeah. So one of the first instances that I found, when I'm scouring the internet, a man by the name of Preston Dennett wrote a book on all these Ouija board contacts, and he did a YouTube video where he's like pinning these, and they were pretty interesting. So this one came from the author Frank Salisbury from a book called The Utah UFO Display.
He also created Salisbury Steak.
Yes, in Utah.
Ah, yes.
So this begins royalty with the Clyde McDonald family, not
McDonald's.
McDonald's royalty, like Big Mac royalty.
We got a lot of food references in this motherfucker.
Yeah, just a family in Utah with the last name McDonald, not Golden Arches.
That's unfortunate for them.
So as they're sitting there around the dinner table, their fourth grader, young Tammy, told everybody that a flying saucer was getting ready to appear above the Roosevelt Hospital at exactly 8 o'clock tonight. So she had to get her dinner down so she could go see the UFO. Obviously, her parents were like, Tammy, what are you talking about?
You're a nerd.
You nerd. And she confirmed her nerdness by saying that her and some of her friends in the fourth grade class had been using a Ouija board. The Ouija board had informed them that this event would take place. Their mother and their father, obviously, said, whatever, nerd. And went and watched television. They were relaxing when their children ran out to meet their 8 o'clock UFO appointment. The mother was even being funny and being like, you better hurry. It's going to be gone before you get there. And then she heard Tim starting to yell, which Tim is the younger brother. He's in second grade. Well, he's all about what Tammy's got going on.
That's fucking crazy.
If Tammy says a Ouija board says a UFO is going to be there, Timmy's all about it.
It's almost the equivalent of my children talking about using a Ouija board to contact aliens.
Yeah.
That would fuck me up.
Yeah. So they hear Timmy yell, look, hurry up, there it is. And the mother said they almost broke the screen door off trying to get out to see it. So as they heard the excitement, they all jumped up and ran out the door to see a giant light right out above the hospital. They saw the light, and of course, they just stood there in amazement and watched it. And the mother says, we about froze. We were barefoot and everything, but we didn't want to come back in and lose it. It was kind of an ordinary light. How big it was, and then they were asked, how big was it compared to the full moon? She said, it wasn't that big, probably about a third of a full moon. So it's a pretty good sized light hovering above this hospital.
It's definitely good size.
Yeah. One of the kids ran to call the neighbors, and Mr. McDonald went in to get his rifle so he could try to get a better look at this thing through the scope.
Oh, I thought I was going to try to take it out.
Me too. But by the time he got back, it was gone. They watched out the windows from the house for half an hour or so, but the object did not come back. Interesting part about this case, beyond the Ouija board aspect, is that they were not the only people to see the object. It was surprisingly well documented. Investigator Junior Hicks found at least five other witnesses who saw and described seeing the same object about the same time, about the same place. Roy Merchant reported seeing the object as it flew alongside his car for over a mile, then went straight up into the air. Pretty good UFO encounter, minus the Ouija board. But with the Ouija board, like, what are the odds? Like, the odds have to be astronomical that these kids thought that they were talking to something that said, hey, there's going to be a UFO here, and it ended up being there.
Furthermore, why would a evil entity do that?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, like, they had to be in contact with something that either, like, had knowledge that the craft was going to be there. They were in contact with entities inside the craft. Or they were in contact with an entity that could,
like, detect it,
produce the craft at will,
which is crazy.
Pretty crazy. The next one comes to us from Humanoid Encounters, a book series by Robert Rosales, which if you do not have those, I suggest you pick them up because they're awesome. I have the entire series. Love it. Comes with pictures and all kinds of shit. It's so dope. It goes all the way from, like, the beginning of recorded history all the way up through the 2000s of weird humanoid and not just a clever name. Humanoid Encounters. Talks about humanoid encounters. Super cool. This takes place in September of 1994 in Farmingham, Massachusetts. A girl by the name of Mona Kempka had reportedly been playing around on a Ouija board she had acquired. She claimed to be in contact with an entity that we heard in the last episode that goes by the name of Zozo. At around this time, strange things begin to happen with Mona when she was contacting this entity about the same time. On the night of September 1st, 1994, Mona was awoken at 3:15 in the morning by the feeling of a hand pressed firmly down on her own. As she opened her eyes, she saw shocked to see a reptilian-type entity materialize in front of her. Nope. She described the creature as breathtaking in appearance. It was very tall, covered in scales that were congruent to its frame, with smaller scales around its elbows and knees. Its torso put the most proficient bodybuilders to shame. Mona's really impressed with this reptilian's physique.
Scale detail on the knee.
Yeah.
She
was getting a good eye at it.
Pretty observant little one there.
Its legs were like giant frog legs, only more developed and muscular. There was a mist covering its face, so she couldn't make it out. Even as all this was taking place, the whole room took on a pinkish hue. The entity reportedly stated that its name was Zozo to her telepathically. As this was occurring, Mona realized, like, hey, there's an alien here, and became hysterical, standing straight up in her bed and screaming. The reptoid was greenish in color, highly developed, very muscular. It had intimidating claws, almost talon-like. It then dematerialized in front of her. She goes on to claim that less than 3 months after this, she had another encounter in her room, this time with a classic gray alien. Keep in mind that this encounter is in 1994, a decade and a half before Zozo made his appearance on the internet in 2009, where Darren Evans said that he had contacted it via the Ouija board. So maybe Zozo's not a demon. Maybe Zozo's an alien.
I mean, we do know that reptoids are pretty nefarious entities.
Could be both. Some people think also, it's both.
Also, I'm going to go ahead and call it right now, Battletoads was soft disclosure for this situation.
Yeah, you're right.
I am, ain't I?
You are.
Yeah, I remember fighting on spaceships and shit.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Biker mice from Mars? Same thing.
Hell yeah.
Street sharks? Same thing.
Yep.
It's just, they're just prepping us. The next, okay, so something that I noticed, not necessarily specifically Ouija board stuff, but as I was thumbing through the issue of the Robert Rosales Humanoid Encounters, especially in the 90s, Spain had a lot of shit going on. For some reason, when I think of like alien encounters and humanoid encounters, I think like very hyper-focus on the United States.
Yeah.
There are maybe 2% of the encounters in that 1990 to 1994 book are United States. It's Russia and like Spain and Ukraine have all the shit going on.
That's crazy.
In the early 90s. Spain was popping off in the 90s. I don't know what the fuck was going on.
I know Russia was hot in the 80s too.
It's crazy. Because I was expecting to dig through there and be like, America, America, America. Fuck no. Humanoids were everywhere but.
That's crazy.
Pretty wild. So, Spain, specifically the town of Begur. In the 60s, in the UFO culture was popping off in Spain. Multiple people were claiming to be in contact with aliens, claiming to be from a planet called Umo. People were traveling from all over the country to try and communicate or catch a glimpse of these humanoid aliens. The lore and interest in these alleged contacts lasted for decades when, in August of 1980, a couple that lived in the area decided that they would try to step up their alien contact game and use a Ouija board to give themselves a little leg up above the others trying to make contact with the Umo aliens. The Umo case itself is actually pretty well known in UFO lore. It's got a couple books written on it. The couple had joined a group that was still going on years later, obviously from the 60s to the 80s, that had begun brainstorming on how to contact these aliens. They came up with the idea that the board would streamline the contact with these beings. Not long after using the board in an effort to contact the Umo aliens, the couple was driving along with their two children when a UFO appeared overhead and started following them and tracking their car. This was in the middle of the night at around 2:15 a.m., traveling down Highway A-17 in Begur, the object was following the car closely and they became quite concerned, so much so that the dad pulled over to try to get a good eye on what this thing was. As soon as he pulled over, the craft shot back up into the air. So he's like, all right, whatever. Gets back in the car, takes off, craft descends again, starts hovering right above him. And it was really close this time. So they decided to just take off and continue on their trek. Craft gets closer. As they made it into the town of Agua Blava, the craft was exceptionally low. It began shooting down a beam of light at the car. As this happened, it lit up the surrounding area so much that the family could see an odd symbol on the underside of the craft. Upon research later, they found that the symbol had been seen multiple other times on crafts and uniforms from the beings that were supposedly from planet Umo.
Swastikas.
No.
Oh.
It wasn't. It looked, I don't know what it looked like. I saw it. It's hard to explain. They're like two cups with the thing through the middle. I don't know. I was going to save it, but I didn't.
That sounds like a old school naughty video that we shall not reference.
Two beings, one cup. Two Umos, one cup.
Disgusting.
Yeah. Yeah. So try to contact beings with a Ouija board, and they get accosted by a UFO.
I mean, it's pretty slick thinking, though.
Yeah, I don't know why it hasn't crossed our minds before now.
I would agree with that.
I think, for the most part, we were kind of put off by the idea of using the Ouija board. We were kind of pulled into that camp like, oh, it's nefarious. There's nothing that can come of it. I didn't think about contacting aliens with it, you know? Good on them. Kudos to them.
Yeah, like I said, it's pretty good thinking.
Yeah, which we kind of should have known because the lead mask case, those guys were trying to contact dead Martians. And in that, they were led to the beach where they saw the UFO exploded, so on and so forth. And then you have...
It's a pretty big flex to roll up on the beach and explode yourself.
That's what I would do. Oh, you guys summoned me? Check this out. Then you have the Antichrist Hit Squad, the Gulf Breeze 6, who was in contact with the being that did not claim to be a demon, did not claim to be a spirit. It was something otherworldly. They said that they had to save the damn planet. So they too were using the Ouija board to contact not necessarily ghosts. So
I feel like, do you feel like we would be good people to get a hold of to save the planet?
No.
Yeah. I was going to say, you pull the trigger on that one a little too fast.
To contact, to make contact with entities, hell yeah. Let's get it. Let's talk about it. To save the planet.
Yeah, I feel like I'd be like, man,
I'm really tired right now.
I'd rather take a nap. That's literally what I was going to say.
Yeah, I got a lot going on. I got a lot on my plate right now.
Yeah, I need a nap.
I got forced into work tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Which I did. So I can't save the planet tomorrow night. You guys are going to have to wait.
Yeah, we got naps to take.
Just is what it is.
Yeah.
So the next encounter, we are rolling right back into Spain because Spain is off the chain, as they said back in the 90s.
That was their state or their country motto.
Yeah, it was on their flag.
Yeah.
Spain is off the chain. this is from a town called La Tejita.
Hell yeah.
June 9th, 1975 at 11:30 p.m., two teenage boys named Jose and Paco were messing around with their Ouija board one night. I'm not sure if they intended necessarily to contact aliens or not, but that's exactly what happened. They contacted something with the board that then told them to drive to a nearby beach where these entities would show themselves to the teens. As they got out to this beach on Tenerife, they saw multiple UFOs out over the water. As they're sitting there, these lights began getting closer and closer to them. The boys would later wake up in their car with a significant amount of missing time, which is never good when you see a UFO. You wake up in a different spot 4 hours later.
They basically fucking alien day raped them.
Yeah, that's never good.
That's so bad. They just straight up, they're like, hey, Steve.
Come hang out.
Come to this beach. We'll show you what we look like. And then you just wake up hours later in your fucking car.
Can't remember nothing.
Probably
got a headache. Sucks.
Dude, that sucks.
Sucks.
That's the shittiest move I've heard in alien abduction.
Yeah, I tried to tell you aliens are sus, but no. Dude. Everybody's like, love and light. Yeah,
No. I'm down for a cool alien, but in most cases, they're not that cool.
No. No cases, they're cool.
If you hang out with somebody and they got to make you forget what happened when you hung out, it's probably not a cool friend.
Sus.
It's not a cool friend.
Later on, they agreed to go under hypnotic regression because one of the boys began getting telepathic messages telling them that they had been abducted on the beach that night. So not only did they wipe their memory, they then started to say, you know what? Maybe some weird shit did happen. Sending text messages like, you remember what happened that night? So they went under.
So fucking suspect.
Yeah. So they went under hypnosis. They recalled being taken on board a craft, taken down a lighted hallway into a room, and sat onto chairs. Entities came into the room, but the boys couldn't make out what they looked like because they wore white jumpsuits and big white helmets. These entities put strange helmets on the boys, each having about 30 cables sticking out of them. And what they believed to be some sort of mind reading experiment or some thought procedure. This was the only part that they could remember, but they recalled being led back down the corridor and placed into their building or into their vehicle. sus.
Yeah. It feels extremely nefarious.
Yeah. Never, don't trust them. No.
I mean, if it was you and me up there and I saw you with that dope ass helmet on, I would instantly think Weapon X.
Yeah. Same. Where else am I here? Okay, apparently another one from Spain. Because if you're going to contact aliens with a Ouija board, you need to be in Spain.
Apparently.
Because that's where the leading Ouija board technology is taking place. Leading Ouija board communication with extraterrestrials happened in Spain. Because we got another one. September 1984, a young couple, Jose and Maria, are vacationing in Villalacra. Sorry if I get all these names wrong. On this vacation, they decided to spend a romantic evening doing what all young couples do, trying to contact their dead loved ones on a Ouija board.
That wouldn't be my go-to guess, but...
It was the 80s.
And in Spain, there's a lot of weird stuff, so...
They did not contact their dead loved ones. They contacted an entity that went by the name of M4.
All right. Straight out of a fucking Call of Duty game.
They contacted M4. M4 told them, Blick-a-blow. I got a mission for you.
Of course it did.
If you go to town and buy a Polaroid camera and some film, I'll let you take my picture.
This just has Predator written all over it. This episode is very Predator-based.
I'll let you take my picture.
So I feel like I'm stuck in a 70s horror movie.
Yeah.
About bad dudes doing
bad
weird shit.
Yeah. So the couple said, well, I mean, if M4 told us via the Ouija board to go buy a camera, we might as well do it.
Yeah, obviously.
Let's go get it. So the couple went to town. Got themselves a camera, got some film, come back, hopped right back on the Ouija, said, hey, M4, we got what you wanted us to get. And M4 said, all right, bet, I'll be back tomorrow night and you can take my picture. So they're like, okay, cool.
And they didn't get to take a picture?
That's exactly what M4 did.
Took a picture of them?
They're sitting there at their dining room table. When all of a sudden they see a light outside their window.
Oh, no.
The next day or the next night. As they go out to check it out, they see a glowing entity outside of their cabin about 100 feet from them. The entity appeared to be 7 feet tall and was wearing a shiny suit covering his whole body. They quickly snapped a photograph of the entity, which shows a glowing, vaguely humanoid shape. I did get to see the photo. And it looks exactly how you would think it would look, being 1984, taken 100 feet away at night of a shiny entity on a Polaroid camera.
I mean, and once again...
It is a shiny blob.
I love the ingenuity and deception of these extraterrestrial beings, because he didn't lie.
No.
But he's like, but I'm also going to stand 100 feet away so you can't see shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe that's fucking Gilbert over there with a lantern.
Yes. They continued to be in contact with this entity throughout the remaining time on their vacation and reported to see it 10 more times. But apparently he wouldn't let them take their picture.
Well, one and done, baby.
And he only promised one.
Yeah.
You can't knock him for that.
It's like being around a celebrity.
Yeah.
You're not trying to... They're not trying to hang out with paparazzi all the fucking time.
No, he don't want. He said one and done.
Yeah.
Said, I gave you that. Chill out.
Yeah.
They did report on their way back home seeing a UFO on their way home. Another odd aspect of the case was that Jose suffered severe back pain from an injury up to the point that they met M4. After the encounter with M4, his back pain had disappeared.
Now, see, why isn't there more stories of this shit?
Where you got to take a picture of a alien to get your back cured?
I mean, I'm good with that.
Yeah.
You know, if all I got to do is take a picture of this thing and it's like, well, guess what? All your ailments are now gone. You are essentially 22 again. I mean, I'm not that mad. Mm-mm. You know?
It's a good trade.
It's a pretty fair trade.
Pretty solid trade.
You know, maybe he just needed like a headshot for something.
Yeah. Yeah. Glamour shots with
yeah.
Deb.
Yeah.
We're coming back to America with this one. This is from author Gary Val Tenuta, who wrote the book Ouija Calling. Let me try that again. He wrote the book Ouija Calling E.T. Do You Copy? A True Story.
Clever.
Takes place in Long Beach, California, 1967. Gary, his wife Edie, and their friend Tom started using a Ouija board to attempt to contact dead relatives. Did they? No. Instead, they contacted an entity that went by the name of Guru Spectre. That's a name.
Yeah.
That's a name. I love that he called himself Spectre, like almost mocking them.
Yeah.
That they were trying to like contact a ghost.
And sounds like a really expensive lawyer.
Or a cologne.
Or a cologne.
Yeah. Try this new Guru Spectre.
Scent. That is a good cologne name.
Yeah. Guru gave them a series of strange messages. Quote, we exist on a physical plane. We are on the fifth planet from the sun in our solar system. Our planet is called Grek. We are living beings, the same as you are living beings, but we are in a different dimension. We are in your future time. Guru then went on to tell them that their friend Tom had been abducted and taken to Grek. When he was there, Tom had allowed them to take genetic material from him to produce a child on that planet. Mm. Tom didn't hold back. After that revelation was broke, Tom was like, you know what? Now that I think about it, I did have a weird series of dreams where I was taken to another planet and made babies. Kind of unlocked that in his head.
Yeah, so it wasn't actually a dream.
No. Guru really, really did that.
Yeah.
Guru went on to tell them that he was able to contact the Ouija boards via telepathy, which is what I was referencing in the last one.
Right.
Some of these beings say that they're contacting the board as opposed to using the human as a conduit.
That's still an interesting statement, though, to use telepathy instead of, like, telekinesis.
Yeah.
Because wouldn't telepathy...
That's the thoughts.
Yeah.
So you would think that if he was moving the planchette, well, I don't know. That's weird. Good call.
Yeah.
Gary's wife, Edie, went on to be able to start channeling these entities via automatic writing, which is similar to a Ouija board. And then she went on to be able to contact them via telepathy, just thought-to-thought communication, which is kind of like the Estes method, the way you go up. Guru then went on to tell them that they would be able to actually build a UFO using their minds. So Gary was like...
Fucking turn into Magneto.
Gary was like, no, Guru, we can't. We can't build a UFO using just our thoughts. And Guru's like, yeah, you can. Quit selling yourself short and think build a UFO.
I love that Gary's like, dude, that's not how our... mind works.
And Guru continues to argue with him. He's like, yes, you can, and you're going to have to, because there's going to be great devastation. You need to build these mind UFOs to take people off the planet, because there's going to be a mass extinction event. Mm. Huge devastation.
Well, you know what? It's good that Gary didn't fall to that trap.
Which it kind of made me wonder as I was reading that, because he said then, after the devastation happens... humans have to go back and repopulate the Earth because it will be livable and you got to restart, which made me think like it kind of took me into the soul trap consciousness kind of thing. Is it just them harvesting our consciousness and then putting back in, you know, like a thought be. UFO feels like just your consciousness, build a consciousness UFO. I don't know.
Interesting.
I don't know. Guru, you need to be more,
specific.
Yeah, that's the word. Specific.
Yeah.
What time we got? All right, we got a little bit of time. I got a couple left here. So, we've done UFOs, right? Things are about to get real strange. Real strange. Sequoia National Park, California, summer of 1975. In Peter Gattaca's book, The Bigfoot Files, he references this case. Three witnesses, a man by the name of John Clark, his wife, and their friend Ralph Johnson, had went camping in the park at around John and his wife staying in their pull-behind trailer, and Ralph was sleeping in his car. Around 4 a.m., the Clark's dog started freaking the fuck out. Started barking, its hackles were up, like really something was going on that didn't need to be going on. So as the dog's freaking out, Clark's like kind of waking up as early in the morning, trying to figure out if there's a bear in the camp or what's going on. He hears Ralph yell, "What is that?" So Clark jumps up to go investigate. As he pokes his head out the trailer, he's shocked to see a 9-foot-tall creature covered in blonde hair moving rapidly through the camp. Essentially, a blonde Bigfoot. So,
got some highlights.
Ralph, who's already out of his car, getting an eye on this thing, does the OG thing that he could do. Grab the nearest object, which is a cast iron frying pan, yes, and chuck it at the blonde Bigfoot.
That's a solid move.
Yes.
Solid.
Yep. He then dove back into his car and locked the doors. Yeah. Fired, you know, shoot and run.
Yeah,
spray and pray.
I'm definitely like that. He essentially tried to beat up the stand.
I don't know if he hit it. I don't know if he hit it, but he did throw it. Hey, Holocult. Let me tell you about the online cannabis company that's revolutionizing how we deal with life's challenges. From sleepless nights to stress-filled days, Mood.com has created an entire line of functional gummies that target specific health concerns with 100% federally legal THC blends. They'll deliver them discreetly to your front doorstep. And you can get them 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code HOLO. Having trouble sleeping? They've got a gummy for that. Sleepy Time gummies knock you out in about 15 minutes. They leave you feeling refreshed, and they don't leave you with a feeling of grogginess or hangover. Having just one of those days where just everybody sucks and everything is going wrong, you just need to reset your mood and your day as a whole. They've got gummy for that too. Epic Euphoria gummies. Just reset your mood and turn your frown upside down. What makes these different is how they've paired THC with other cannabinoids, with herbs and adaptogens. You're just not going to find gummies like this in a dispensary or anywhere for that matter. And they have gummies for literally everything. Immune support, menopause relief, PMS symptoms, mental clarity, sexual arousal. And each one is crafted using federally legal cannabis grown on small, family-owned American farms. No pesticides, no BS, and they can ship to most states in the U.S. Best of all, not only does Mood stand behind everything with an industry-leading 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, Holocult listeners get 20% off their first order with code HOLO. So head to Mood.com, browse their amazing selection of functional gummies, and find the perfect gummy for whatever you're dealing with. And remember to use promo code HOLO at checkout to save 20% on your first order.
Which, I mean, either way, it's definitely like a heroic act.
Yeah. Clark immediately ran back into the trailer, locked it up, grabbed his rifle, and waited till the sun came up.
He might have started with a rifle. Yeah. But, you know, whatever. Hey, it's cool.
Yeah. Frying pan was a weird choice.
Definitely a weird choice.
But I wasn't there.
I wouldn't say weird choice. It's a classic choice.
Yeah. It's a choice of desperation.
Yeah. Nostalgia.
So, as the sun came up, Clark stated that it was weird because this thing made no sound as it was running through the camp. It didn't crunch the leaves. It didn't patter on the ground. He also said that it looked as if it was gliding. It made no like walking, hunching, or running movements as it was moving through the camp. The next morning, they went out and looked for evidence of the creature, but they didn't find any. No footprints, No broken branches, no hair, no nothing. Being sleep deprived from being up the latter half of the night, wondering if maybe they had a shared hallucination or what they just experienced, they decided to pack up and head home. John's wife couldn't shake what had happened the previous night. So she did what any sane person would do and go out and buy a Ouija board under the premise that she wanted to try and contact the creature that had sprinted through their campsite. John, being a man of science, said, "That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard." He wasn't into the paranormal, wasn't into the ghost stuff, pretty much told her that she was just wasting her time, but she was adamant. Already bought the board. She wanted to know what the creature was.
Hopefully it just says, "Ayo, got your frying pan, bro."
Yeah, just got it. So John finally decides to humor her, and they set up the board at the kitchen table. His wife placed her fingers on the planchette, and they began asking questions. Slow going at first, but eventually the board started responding. It spelled out the word Q-O-N, which I'm going to call Quan.
That's
Rich, I mean, homie Quan.
Yeah.
Knowing that it wasn't a word they're familiar with, they asked what Quan meant. The board told them that Quan was its name. They asked Quan where he was from, and the board spelled out 5 million light years away.
Damn.
John's wife continued asking questions. If Quan had anything to do with what they saw at the campground the previous night, the board said yes and then spelled out the word Bigfoot. This prompted John's wife to ask if Bigfoot was from Earth. The board said no. Bigfoot was actually an alien that had crash landed on Earth in a UFO in 1863 from the planet Pluto.
Oh, dang.
Yeah. Where are you at now, primate Bigfooters? Bigfoot's an alien from the planet Pluto.
That's...
says Rich Homie Quan on the Ouija board.
And I mean, Homie Quan's not going to lie. He would why lie about something like that?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. At this point, John was like, "We're done with this. We're just going to," he says, "stop it. Just stop it." And they put the board away and he doesn't think about it. Well, he starts having a rough time sleeping. Starts having a lot of stress from the encounter. It's weighing on him. He can't sleep. So after a few weeks of this, he decided to reach out for help. He was kind of weighing on the whole Ouija board thing and the creature he saw. He heard of a professor from the University of California named James Harder. He had a background in researching the paranormal. While John wasn't really into that world, he was so desperate for answers that he sought out James to tell him what exactly had happened. Dr. Harder then suggested that John undergo hypnotherapy to possibly recover memories that may be blocked out from sight that night. So he goes into Harder's office, undergoes hypnosis, and everything is playing out the way he remembers it. The campsite, the creature, you know, the dog freaking out. He remembers hearing Ralph yell. But then as he looks out the window of the trailer, as this thing leaving the forest line, there's a bright flash of pure white light. The next thing he remembers is he was being in a triangular room. No doors, no windows, just smooth walls that seemed to be self-illuminating. He remembers laying on a bed with tubes protruding from his arms and one from his stomach. He said it wasn't painful, he wasn't afraid, but then he began to feel as if he was levitating. As he looked up, he saw an immense bright light above him. As his eyes adjusted to the light, he saw that there was something in the light above him. He realized that they were eyes, yellow eyes with black slits, almost like a cat or a reptile's eyes. He couldn't focus on what the creature was that had the eyes, just on the eyes. He then woke up with more questions than answers.
Rightfully so.
Yeah. Ouija, Bigfoot, board.
Yeah, and then weird-ass, like, reptile eyes.
Makes you wonder if all these things were on some plane that we can connect with. It's weird. And we don't know what we're contacting. Be ghosts, be demons, be Bigfoot. Got another Bigfoot Ouija board encounter. Not a direct connection, but almost kind of. This is from Nick Redfern's book, The Bigfoot Book. A woman named Laura recounts the events from her mid-teens. One Friday night, Laura's parents were out for the night, so she decided to have a few of her girlfriends come over and have a slumber party. As her friends arrived, one of them, a girl by the name of Brooke, Come on, Brooke. Pulls out a Ouija board for the night's entertainment. The four girls named Laura, Allison, Brooke, and Beth found the board to be the perfect way to kind of distract themselves from all of life's drama. Laura admitted that none of them had any experience with the board. Most of them hadn't even seen one, aside from Brooke, who's the one who brought it over. They did all the things teenage girls would do with the board, ask the board about boys, ask the board about their future, all that stuff. The atmosphere took a heavier turn when one of the girls decided to ask about a dead loved one. This prompted the girls to fear that they may have opened a portal to something malevolent, which might be what happened. As soon as they started asking about the dead, the whole atmosphere of the room changed. The air had just been sucked out of the room. I said it was obviously noticeable. The remainder of the night, this caused the girls to put the board away, and they're like, nope, we're done. It's weird. We're over it. Put the board away, and the remainder of the night, nothing strange occurred. By the next day, Laura was unable to shake the odd sensation that they had when asking the board about the dead loved one. The following night, something terrifying happened. Just after going to bed, Laura had heard from outside the window a shrill, banshee-like wail of a creature that she had never heard before. Since the house had backed into the forest, she was used to seeing and hearing all sorts of wildlife, but this was clearly something different. She peered out of her bedroom window but couldn't see anything. Soon, the cries stopped and Laura fell asleep. Later that night, something truly terrifying occurred. Laura was woken from her sleep by a horrid smell, sickly smell that filled her bedroom. She was about to turn the light on when she noticed in the moonlight something standing in the corner of her room. Laura tried to scream but couldn't muster a sound. It was, she said, as if something was preventing her from making any noise at all, almost as if she was being controlled by the being that was in the corner of the room. This creature began to move near her. She got a better look at it as it moved closer. It was a large black-haired creature that looked like a cross between a man and a giant ape. Its massive arms hung by its side. Its silvery eyes stared at her, showing no emotion toward her at all. The creature moved closer and closer, leaning in and putting its face less than 6 inches from Laura's. She could see that the facial features were those of a very primitive humanoid or an ape man. The creature just stared at her for a few long seconds before retreating back into the shadows of the corner of the room, not ever breaking contact with Laura as it backed itself into the shadows. It made no sounds at all. Finally, it just seemed to dissipate into the shadows of the room. The smell dissipated with it. To this day, Laura still firmly believes that the Bigfoot-like creature was sent there through the contact of the Ouija board, sent as some sort of warning not to mess with forces beyond this realm.
It's one of the first times I've heard Bigfoot creeping in somebody's room.
Yeah. There is a case. I didn't put it in here because it doesn't involve a Ouija board, but it does involve a seance. And Nick Redfern refers to it in his book, The Bigfoot Files, where they are holding a seance. And as they are doing this seance, in the corner of the room, a Bigfoot-like entity manifests. And it's just kind of sitting there, not doing anything, not interacting with anyone. And the man leading the seance keeps trying to get the Bigfoot to join the seance circle, trying to get it in on what they're doing. But it's almost like it never intended to be there in the first place. Almost like it was like pulled from what it was doing and placed there. And eventually it just de-manifested back out into the ether. So, apparently you can summon Bigfoot.
That's it. That's weird.
I got one more short one here. Kind of Bigfooty, but actually it's Dogman. It's the only thing I can say. It's a Dogman. there's a case reported to MUFON about a man that is said to be using a Ouija board when all of a sudden he heard an odd noise outside his home. He grabbed his flashlight and proceeded to go outside to see what all the commotion was about. As he stepped outside, scanned his light, he saw two creatures. One of them was walking upright on its hind legs. It had huge claws, snarling teeth, and a muzzle like that of a dog. He said it was almost werewolf-like. It was standing next to another more hideous creature similar to that, but it was down on all fours, snarling and baring its teeth. Almost as if it were a dog man in control of another more primitive dog man. So it was almost like a werewolf with another werewolf on a leash. This man was in belief that perhaps his use of the Ouija board in his home earlier opened some sort of portal or rift to another dimension that let this thing through. Or perhaps just the usage of the Ouija board was giving off some sort of unknown signal that drew these things to him. Interesting.
I mean, it's definitely plausible questioning.
Yeah. And I think they're onto something, man. I think if you're in the camp that you can use the Ouija board to contact spirits or demons, it's not out of the realm of possibilities that you can use it to contact any cryptozoological paranormal creature.
I mean, I agree with that. I wouldn't have ever thought that, because naturally your head goes to like ghosts and demons.
I'm shocked with the advent of the CE5 movement that more people haven't tried to use a Ouija board to contact other entities that aren't ghosts and stuff.
Like you said, it's just so taboo currently.
And if you take a dive into the electronic communication with spirits, a lot of it devolves into UFOs real, real fucking fast.
That's so fucking weird.
Even if you go into it looking to contact ghosts, it's almost like the UFO alien narrative forces its way in there. Like you look at some of the MIB encounters early on. Barker, one of the first guys that even coined the phrase MIB, talks about them contacting him via the static between stations and the radio. It's fucking weird.
Which is, it's just so crazy.
It's fucking weird.
It'd be terrifying.
Frank Sumption, the man who built the Frank's box, which is like a bigger version of the ghost box. He was working on a machine that essentially does the same thing as a ghost box, but it does television stations. It scans through analog channels of a television, just a static. He got a picture of what you could only say is a MIB, is a hat man.
Like, can confirm. I did see it.
It's crazy.
It's fucking weird.
It's crazy. And like, he also got an EVP at the same time. He got visual contact with the thing that says, what did it say? We are monitoring you. Like,
yeah,
know
yeah,
that
yeah.
We are monitoring you. Something about the Father and the Son. Like, yep. It's bonkers. Again, the Newkirks did a 4-part series on electronic voice phenomena and contacting spirits. Go watch it. Haunted Objects podcast. It's enlightening, to say the least. But that's my series on Ouija boards. I know I kind of went off trail there at the end. Let us know what you guys think. Is it nefarious? Does the board nothing more than a tool? Do these beings contact us as the humans are the conduit? What do you think? Can the board be used?
It's a lot of interesting line of questions.
Can the board be used to contact more than just ghosts and demons? If not, why not? If yes, why yes?
So it's just like a giant walkie-talkie.
It's a bunch of cool... Yeah, essentially, kind of, sort of, yes.
Yeah.
Pretty sick. Pretty fly.
Be fucking weird to contact the damn Bigfoot.
I would never, if I had a Bigfoot run through my camp, the very, very, very last thing I would think of would be to get a Ouija board and try to contact it.
I'm with you.
Kudos to John's wife, because she was thinking way outside the box.
She's like,
I almost feel like more people need to do that.
In the like, yeah, I agree.
That would be dope. But anyway, that's the conclusion of my little Ouija board project there. If any of you have had any weird experiences with the Ouija board, even beyond the realm of spiritual contact, if it's something weird, send it our way. Let's get some Ouija board stories. It's spooky season, folks. Let's get it.
I'd be interested to know if any of our listeners had encounters with not ghosts or demons.
Puck orgies via the
that would fuck me up if we had a mass influx of like, yeah, we totally did. I totally did.
Puck Ouijis, if you will.
Hell yeah.
So again, thanks for hanging out with us. Hope you enjoyed the show. And check us out at all our socials until we meet again. Stay safe, stay weird, and if you contacted a Bigfoot via the Ouija board, make sure you call us. Send us a voice note. Get at us. We want to talk about it.